The first lesson today comes from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, where he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I surely will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for the ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present to everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Once more, I greet you in the comforting name of Jesus Christ this morning. There was a pastor who was called to a new church. And shortly after his arrival, one of the families in the church invited him to come over for dinner. Well, the woman of the house was very pleased to have the minister come to the house, and she really wanted to impress him. After dinner, she asked the pastor to read something out of Scripture and then to expound on it a little bit. Okay? So she asked one of her daughters, she said, "Honey, please go and get the good book. You know, the book we love, the book we read every day." And so her daughter went off. In a few minutes, her daughter came back with the Sears catalog. Do you think maybe the family needed to work a little bit more with Holy Scripture and read it maybe a little bit? You know, that story reminded me of our gospel lesson today that Carrie just read from Luke chapter 10. Because in that lesson, we see that Jesus is traveling around in his ministry. And Martha invited him to come over for dinner at their house along with her sister Mary. Now, in that culture, hospitality was very important. As a matter of fact, inviting someone to your home, especially someone who was traveling by, was not only gracious, it was expected. And it was expected that the homeowner would prepare the best meal that they could possibly prepare for the traveler. Of course, back then, they didn't have all the modern conveniences that we have today, and they didn't have access to the large group of different ingredients to cook with like we do today. We can see that in our first lesson from Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham wanted to greet the travelers from heaven that he saw. He saw them standing off and in a distance, and he saw that they were traveling, and he wouldn't let them go past him without offering them a foot washing, which was another traditional thing, and a refreshing meal. He asked his wife Sarah to go and to bake some bread from scratch using the finest flour that he had. He then went out into the herd, and he selected what he thought would be the most tender calf and had his servant prepare that calf so that it could be served. Abraham wanted the best for the traveler. Obviously, this was not a meal that you could just open up the refrigerator and nuke, you know, so that you could have something to eat. It took a lot of time, as you can imagine. And it showed the love that Abraham had for these travelers. Well, in Jesus' time, putting together a meal like that and setting all the places and getting everything ready wasn't quite as work-intensive as Abraham had, but it was still a lot of work. And so in our gospel lesson today, we see that Martha had to do that work. She was busy preparing the meal and putting everything together so that they all could eat. And she looked over and she sees Mary just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus was saying. And she became upset. She thought to herself, this is not fair for Mary to allow me to do all the work. And she complained to Jesus about that. But Jesus said that Mary had chosen what was better, and he wouldn't deny her that. You see, Mary couldn't get enough of Jesus. Mary was like a sponge, soaking up every word that Jesus was saying. It doesn't appear that she was upset at all about her sister having to do all the work. It doesn't appear that she was upset at all about the cultural norms which dictated that the women had to prepare the meals and serve the meals back then. She didn't care about being politically incorrect for that time period. She knew that she just had to listen to Jesus, because after all, he had the words that were vital to her life. It reminded me of what Peter said to Jesus, as recorded in John chapter 6. When some of his followers were falling away, going away from him, because his teaching and his ministry was becoming more serious, and it was harder for them to listen to what Jesus was asking of them. And so they started falling away, and Jesus looked at the 12 apostles, and he said, you do not want to leave me too, do you? And then Peter said the words that you've heard before. Peter answered him, Lord, to who shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter recognized the importance of listening to Jesus, and so did Mary. I believe that Jesus would have wanted Martha to drop everything that she was doing and sit down there at his feet, just like Mary was. He pointed out to Martha, few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. For Mary, the place to be was at the feet of Jesus. Well, we don't know what happened later on in that evening. I mean, maybe Martha did drop her bread dough and sit down at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. We do know that both of them went on to have a very close relationship with Jesus from then on. And I'm sure that pleased Jesus very much. Now, this narrative, our gospel, from the life of Jesus as recorded by Luke, is short, but it's packed with significance. You know, we know that in our lives there's all kinds of things, there's all kinds of problems, there's all kinds of issues that we have to do, right? We have to do them. Sometimes those things keep us so busy that we cannot pursue our relationship with Jesus. We have more complex lives than just worrying about fixing a dinner, right? You know, we have daily jobs that keep us busy and many times keep us exhausted. We have activities that we have to plan that take up our spare time. We have children and grandchildren that will take a lot of energy to take care of. We have human relationships that we have to nurture. We have health conditions that we have to contend with. And I'm sure we've heard this before. If Satan can't keep you bad, he's going to keep you busy. Because Satan doesn't want you to have a relationship with Jesus, because he knows the deeper your relationship is with Jesus, the more impossible it's going to be to pull you away from him. So what do you think is the best place for you to be? Well, I'm hoping that you're saying, like Mary did, the best place for me is at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said, indeed, only one thing is needed. And that one thing is deepening our relationship with him. After we receive faith to believe in Jesus, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Redeemer, that he is our personal Savior, we know that our future is secure. But there's more in this life that we can be. There's more in this life that we can do. There are many ways that we can deepen our relationship with Jesus. And I'll give you a few examples. One example is taking every opportunity that we can to read his word, to get into his word, both individually and collectively. You know, when we come here on Sunday morning, all of us, you know what? We're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're learning from him. He is talking to us in our minds and in our hearts. It's a more structured way of doing it, but the Holy Spirit is here helping us deepen our faith, helping us learn more about Jesus, helping us deepen our relationship with him. And it's also a way for all of us to thank him for the love that he has shown us throughout our lives. You know, there's a reason why we call the Lord's Supper Holy Communion. We commune with ourselves, yes, but we also commune with him. As a matter of fact, he is the host here. He serves us, His body and His blood, to strengthen our spirits, to benefit us, forgiving our sins, making us new again, like we had just risen from the waters of baptism for the first time. It's a very intimate way for us to get to know Jesus. People who don't come to communion, people who don't think that communion is significant, they're missing out, folks. They really are. Another thing is attending Bible classes. Attending Bible classes where His Word is read and discussed is very important to our relationship with Him too. Learning together in the company of other believers gives us a richer understanding of what Jesus taught, how He wants us to live. You know, learning together in the company of other believers is like our hearts are sitting at the feet of the Master and we're asking questions like, how is the Lord instructing and guiding my brothers and sisters? And could what they're learning apply to me? Now, we also know that we need to individually sit at the feet of Jesus. There are available for us all kinds of Bible studies and daily devotions. Matter of fact, there's so many devices and things available for us today, we really have no excuse for not reading or hearing or pondering Holy Scripture. CDs can be in our cars where we can hear. We can hear the Bible, we can hear all kinds of devotionals. You know, we have smartphones that allow us to virtually read or listen to Holy Scripture or things that are God-pleasing anywhere. In the doctor's office, in the line of DMV, anywhere. Another things that could be helpful to us is how many of you, don't you have to raise your hand, how many of you have memorized Bible verses? That's important. It's important because we can think about those verses when we're doing some kind of mindless activity, and we know what mindless activities are. You know, it may be exercising on your treadmill. It might be folding laundry. It might be walking the dog. Things like that. The Holy Spirit will show us new things. Even though we've read or maybe even memorized Scripture, He will come and He will show you something new. He will give you an epiphany about that. What's the deeper meaning here? How can it apply better to my life? The Holy Spirit will do that. And you know what I mean, because many of you have experienced that. If you planned a little bit even more, you can memorize even bigger passages of Scripture from when you don't have a Bible available to you. You can think about those. And again, you can ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you about what you're reading, about what you have memorized. Another thing is you might try reading Psalms as a prayer to God, because that's what it is. Those are prayers to God. Or you might take Luther's Small Catechism. Some of you, I hope all of you know what that is. If you don't, you need to get one and put it in your house. Because that's the basic understanding of the Christian faith that you all need to know. That's what the children go through in confirmation. But you take Luther's Small Catechism and you read the attendant Bible verses that go along with all of the things that are discussed. It'll give you a thorough and a basic understanding of what the Christian life is all about. You may want to listen to other sermons online, right? There's good sermons online, but you have to be careful and make sure that you get, you know, ones that are based in the Word and have a good mix of gospel and law. But there are good sermons online that you can listen to in your car or anywhere else. You don't have to listen to just one sermon on Sunday morning. Folks, there's all kinds of ways that we all can sit at the feet of Jesus. However, all of those ways have to be planned, and you have to be committed to it. If you don't commit to it, if you don't plan it into your daily routine, you know as well as I know that all kinds of other things will take its place. Things that may be not pleasing to God. You have to commit to the understanding that the best place to be is at the feet of Jesus. Building a stronger relationship with Him like Mary did. Wouldn't we like to be like Mary and just make the best choice, even if we're not playing with society's rules, even though we may not be being politically correct? Because when we concentrate on having a great relationship with Jesus, you know what? We find divine truths. Divine truths like we're never without help. We're never alone in this life. As the writer of Hebrews said, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Isn't that a great feeling? Isn't that a great promise that God gave to us? We'll experience His grace, and we know about His grace that it's sufficient for anything that we can face. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, he said, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that something that we can latch on to? Isn't that something that we can remember when times are getting tough for us? We can find that inner peace, that strength to face whatever comes our way. In John 14, Jesus said this to the disciples who were worried. He was talking about having to be rested, and He was talking about that He would die. And they were worried about that. They didn't want to lose Jesus. And Jesus said to them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Those are words from Jesus that can comfort us in any situation that we may find ourselves. Those are the kind of truths that calm us even in the busiest times of our lives. Those are the kinds of wisdom and assurances that we can gain if we have a closer relationship with Jesus. But there's something else in our lessons today that we might have overlooked. And I want to go through that with you today. It's from our second lesson. Our second lesson. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul wrote this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, He has reconciled you in Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. You see, he then goes on to say that he has been commissioned by God to be God's servant so that he can present this information to, as he said, he calls it the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Friends, you and I are the Lord's people. You and I are the ones who should be discovering and understanding this, what he calls the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We discover and we understand this mystery. How? By sitting at the feet of the Master. Why is that important? Paul answers that question at the end of our lesson. He says, He, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, he says, I strenuously contend with all my energy, all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me. Friends, to this end, we all should use our strength and our energy to be presented fully mature in Christ. We should strive to attain what we call the divine nature. You know what the divine nature is. It's becoming more and more like Jesus every day. That's attaining the divine nature. That's being presented fully mature in Christ when we see God the Father in person. No matter how busy or how random our lives are, we know the promise that's held out as recorded in James chapter 4. We know that when he says, come near God and he will come near you. We know that that's true. We can come near God by doing like Mary did, by sitting at the feet of Jesus in any of the ways that we've talked about this morning. Because you know what? That's the best place to be. Amen? Amen.